No. I used to dream about this when I was a little boy. I never thought it would end up this way. Drums.
Hey! Evan Cohen is on ESPN 106.3. Streaming live via the free ESPN app or on your Alexa, Google, or Siri smart speakers. Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. Call Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Now alongside Brian McLovin-Rowitz, here's Evan Cohen.
Welcome in on this Monday here on ESPN 106.3. I cannot believe that the Miami Dolphins are coming off of one of the most dramatic wins you will ever see on Saturday night. One of the most stunning, jaw-dropping occurrences, miracles in the final 4 minutes, and all Dolphins fans want to talk about is Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Tua Tagovailoa versus Justin Herbert. Enjoy yourself! You're a game away from the postseason. Ken Lavica, Chris Coquel here with you. Ken and Coquel, commercial free until 6 o'clock, ESPN 106.3. Free ESPN app and on your smart speaker. Hey Alexa, hey Siri, hey Google Play, ESPN 106.3. You can follow us on social media at ESPN West Palm. Jeanette Javier running things here on this Monday night. And the Dolphins, what happened Saturday was absolute miracle status. And so Ryan Fitzpatrick has gotten a lot of credit today. In fact, Dave Hyde, someone who I have a lot of respect for, the columnist for the Sun Sentinel, called Ryan Fitzpatrick Fitz Marino today. Compared to what Ryan Fitzpatrick did to a Dan Marino performance. If Dan Marino was the luckiest quarterback in the history of the league, then yes, that would apply. Here's what happened Saturday night, okay? Chan Gailey is absolutely doing Tua Tagovailoa a disservice with runs on second and third down, not playing any sort of tempo, not rolling him out and getting him outside of the pocket. Like Tua has only shown every game he's played this season, that's where he's most comfortable, especially when there's tempo. You saw the Dolphins come out of the locker room against the Raiders. Bam, tempo, get up to the line, RPO, throw up the middle, big gains, chunk yards, and the Dolphins predictably scored. Found the end zone, and then they never went back to it. So Brian Flores does what he did previously this year in Denver, it's to pull Tua and put in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the beneficiary of an outstanding play from Myles Gaskin, yards after the catch. Ryan Fitzpatrick had nothing to do with that except throwing and delivering the ball. Gaskin caught it, and then he broke a tackle, and then he went back to the right, headed down the sideline, touchdown. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick on the very next possession after Jon Gruden completely failed and completely showed the world why a 10-year, $10 million contract is not anything the Raiders should have ever even considered delivering to him by kicking a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown that would have ended the game. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets his neck twisted around, throws up a prayer that somehow ducks its way into a Dolphin receiver's hands. You add 15 yards for the face mask penalty. Jason Sanders kicks the field goal. Dolphins win. That is not Marino-esque. That is, in this holiday season, if you're a Christian, Virgin Mary-esque. What Ryan Fitzpatrick did is akin to the Virgin Mary somehow being able to bring a child into the world. It was a miracle. A Christmas miracle, what Ryan Fitzpatrick did. It had nothing to do with, wow, look at that acumen, that veteran leadership from Ryan Fitzpatrick. He provided the proverbial spark. No, he got lucky. And now the Dolphins are a win away from going to the playoffs.
It's weird. My ex-girlfriend also had that same miracle happen. She told me it's a very strange story. I won't get into that now. But you may call it a prayer, Ken. I call it magic. It's the Fitz magic, my buddy. Okay. Fitz magic comes through. The difference between Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick is one's 37 and just doesn't care anymore. You get to that age. I'm 41 now, right? And I guess now I care that I'm back doing radio full-time and it's new. But I'm not going to lie. Towards the end of my teaching career, I was like, well, if they don't like the lessons, so be it. I've been here. I'm invested.
Do what I want.
Career's almost over anyway. You know, you get to that point where you just don't care anymore, and I think it's that looseness. But the OC also has to give his quarterbacks equal opportunity to win. My worry is that Chan Gailey doesn't think that Tua can do it.
There's clearly a trust issue between Chan Gailey and what he believes Tua is going to be able to do on the field. I think that that's pretty obvious. But then you go to the next step, and this has been constant since Tua started. Really came into the game against the Jets and then started the very next game. It really has been, Justin Herbert. Dolphins could have had Justin Herbert, and they made a mistake. They should regret taking Tua over Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's name has become synonymous with Tua. Justin Herbert's name was not synonymous with Joe Burrow when Burrow was pre-ACL injury, pre-knee injury, and still playing quarterback for the Bengals. But somehow, Tua, every single week, every time he throws an incompletion, every time he maybe doesn't drive the Dolphins down the field, there are Dolphins fan posts on social media. There's Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio tweeting about Justin Herbert and his comparison to Tua Tagovailoa. And it's wildly unfair. It's downright reckless to start speculating about Tua, whether or not he's the franchise quarterback, if they need to look a different direction. I mean, Pro Football Focus had a discussion today on a podcast about whether or not the Dolphins need to look, because it appears as if they're going to have the third pick at least in the draft, because the Texans keep on losing, if Justin Fields should be in the mix for the Dolphins, if they should go pick another quarterback. It's silly. Tua's played eight games, and to make any sweeping generalization about what he is, especially in comparison to Justin Herbert, Tua is likely going to go to the postseason. Justin Herbert is likely going to take a seat despite gaudy numbers. Tua Tagovailoa's numbers are similar to Joe Burrow from completion percentage, except the difference is Joe Burrow had to throw 40 times a game because the Bengals made him that and put him in that spot. This is silly. In 1 year, a guy who's coming off of an injury that 10 years ago would have destroyed his pro football career, he would have never even got drafted because he never would have had the opportunity to play because he wouldn't be able to walk again. Tua, 8 games in, and we're going to sit here and we're going to question whether or not he's a bust because he's had some hiccups leading a playoff team? That's silly.
I saw a comparison of Tua's numbers to Lamar Jackson after 8 games. Tua's thrown for basically the same yards, 1,400. What stands out to me, though, is 10 passing touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Now, he has thrown a couple balls that I think we can both agree should have been picked off.
Sure, but any quarterback does that.
But exactly, but that you only find those when you want to. You find those balls when you want to go after someone. I think it has to do with kind of, you remember when Tony Romo was coming up and everybody judged him so harshly and you're like, but he was an FCS quarterback who was undrafted. Right. You should be thinking of over accomplishment. I think because he came from Alabama, kind of like Romo was playing for the Cowboys, there's just this weird expectation that goes with that uniform and this weird hate that if you're not dominating everything, you're a complete failure.
That's completely perfect. And I think you are spot on because there is a thing. And I guess I can apply this because I felt the same thing towards Tebow. Tim Tebow coming out of college was this golden boy, the All-American, the Heisman winner, said all the right things, did all the right things, squeaky clean. I couldn't stand that. It was so annoying because it was all Tebow all the time, especially down here. No matter who you talk to about college football, it always swung back to number 15. Tua, maybe not to the extent of Tebow, but Tua is similar. Because Tua is this golden boy, someone who came to national relevance at halftime of a national championship game. Tua has that recognizable name that it was Tebow, one name. Tua, one name. You know exactly who you're talking about. It's Alabama. You already are going to look at someone from Alabama and say, I don't like that guy. He's part of that machine.
I think people got annoyed when he got credit for being a good teammate and not throwing a fit when benched. Like, so there's a little bit of that and the coming back in. And there's all those things in Alabama where you get praised because you're part of that culture that just rubs other fans the wrong way.
You're a Sabanite.
That name in Miami, too, there's a lot of connections here that make people not like Tua. That said, Ken, I'm going to disagree with you. Fitzpatrick is the better quarterback right now for the Dolphins.
He might be the better quarterback, but I also believe that Tua is absolutely starting because he processes game plans better, and he also is someone that he would not have started
if what they were seeing in practice, the way he prepares for games wasn't superior to Ryan Fitzpatrick, especially at the juncture of the season, coming off of another blowout win over the Jets, that he was brought into the fray to be the starting quarterback. But I'm sick and tired of Tua because he played at Alabama, or because people are just sick of him being declared the Messiah, the tank for Tua that started a year and a half ago, or because now we're all hung up on the magic of the Fitzpatrick beard and we're calling him Fitz Marino in the Sun Sentinel, and he's so fun, and look at that kooky shirt that he wore on the NFL Network postgame against the Jaguars. How silly is that guy? I'm so sick of those two constantly being butting heads with this fan base, and also then Justin Herbert being brought into it. We get it. Justin Herbert's had an amazing season. The Dolphins didn't select Justin Herbert, but Justin Herbert, 1 year of really good quarterback play, does not suggest absolutely that he is going to be the answer. Look at Sam Darnold. Look at how New York fell for him after his rookie season, and how rough it's been since then. Look at Daniel Jones, who after one start, Giants fans were giddy, Danny rolling Dimes on the floor, just sobbing in joy at what they saw. And Daniel Jones is mediocre at best. And so you're going to make sweeping declarations about Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Justin Herbert when the Dolphins are one win away from an improbable playoff berth. I am so exhausted by no one enjoying the Dolphins' playoff run, and all they want to do is compare Tua to Herbert and to Fitzpatrick. Should the Dolphins regret not taking Justin Herbert? Should the Dolphins regret not taking Justin Herbert? We are 8 games into Tua Tagovailoa's career. He has been taken out of a fourth quarter twice, but has bounced back, played good football the first time around. We'll see what happens in Week 17 against the Bills. Should the Dolphins have regretted taking Tua over Justin Herbert? 888-760-3776, 888-760-ESPN. Ryan Fitzpatrick, veteran quarterback, probably more calm with this piecemeal offense the Dolphins have on the field. They don't have any of their top production guys other than Mike Gesicki now on the field available to Tua. And we're going to make generalizations. We're going to make declarations about what Tua is or what he isn't, and compare him to Justin Herbert and to Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's such a waste of time. It is such a waste of time. And I think it's a slap in the face to Brian Flores, too. Brian Flores, to me, is the coach of the year, and it's because he doesn't care. He knows what's coming to him from the outside, and he makes these moves, and it's clear that him and Tua have an understanding, him and Ryan Fitzpatrick have an understanding, and there is a lot of personal respect between those parties.
I don't know if Fitzpatrick has an understanding or if he's just a professional. I don't think he's happy about being benched. I don't think he's happy that he's not starting next week. But it comes a time where you have to realize that Tua is the future. But why start him? Why not bench Tua and let him watch Fitzpatrick this week? Do you think, like, I hate the argument that if you play Fitzpatrick in Week 17, you're stunting Tua's growth. No, he played his games, and if he's going to be a franchise quarterback, he needs to have the confidence to overcome being benched in this Week 17 game.
If Tua is your starter, though, Tua is your starter. And Brian Flores, I think, has the sense to know that, yes, Ryan Fitzpatrick came in and they won the game with the two series that he played. But also, I mean, it's not like we're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick marching the Dolphins down the field methodically. Made a couple of throws, got an outstanding effort yards after the catch with Myles Gaskin, and then as his neck was being snapped into, was able to get off an arm punt that the Raiders defense showed that they're the Raiders defense. They've been putrid all year, and they were moronic on that play, and it led to fortunate things falling the Dolphins' way. That's not Fitz Marino.
That's another team also in the Raiders who should have lost to the Jets as well. You know, Greg Williams cover zero on the Hail Mary play didn't help the true outcome of what that game really was. The guy I want to talk about in that game, though, was Hollins, the tight end, mm-hmm. The other tight end. Everyone dogged him for dropping that pass, Ken. Did you notice on Gaskin's touchdown, he made two or three huge blocks.
He sprung them.
On Fitzmagic's heave.
Yeah.
Hollins again pulled it down, but here we are. We're not talking about the redemption story of Hollins.
No.
We're talking about Tua versus Fitzmagic.
Because it's all quarterback all the time. Tua is a name that reverberates nationally. And I get it because of Alabama, because of the Heisman, because of the national championship game appearance, because he was the favorite for the Heisman before the horrific nightmare injury that, again, a decade ago would have ended his entire football career. And he comes back, and it's a cute name, and he's a recognizable face, and he's a golden boy, and the Dolphins take him, and the guy who went a pick after Tua ends up having an outstanding year with the Chargers.
But they've only won six games. Like, let's not talk about, let's not talk like he's lighting up the world, and he's got weapons. So let's not talk about he's lighting up the
Keenan
world
Allen,
and winning games.
Pretty good. He's pretty good. Mike Williams, pretty good. They're doing okay for themselves out there in L.A.
Jakeem Grant is catching the ball with feet. You know what I mean? Like,
I swear to God.
And I love him. He's great in Madden,
by the way. Jakeem Grant has mallets for hands. I have not seen an NFL wide receiver like that who is as important to a team's offense who has hands that are basically all thumbs.
Do you remember David Clowney out of Atlanta?
Man. Yeah.
Remember, he would have been an NFL All-Pro, but he catches the ball like Jakeem Grant. And I love David.
Caught the ball like a corner.
So if he's in town for some reason and he hears this, I love you, David. But he caught the ball like Jakeem Grant. He couldn't catch. All-world speed. Jakeem Grant does a lot of other things on the field as well, but he just can't catch. Tua doesn't have anyone to throw. But what happens if this is what Tua is? Should the Dolphins be okay with that?
But it's eight games.
But I'm saying, but say he's still 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Mm-hmm. He's still efficient. His yards are going to go up. His average per pass is going to go up each year. I mean, look at Lamar's progress. Boynton Beach alum, Lamar Jackson. Every year it's gone up of his career. Tua's going to make those incremental growth. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm just happy there's no turnovers. The reason I wanted the Jets to tank for Trevor, there's a lot of tanking going on around here between Jets fans and Dolphins fans, is because Darnold is a turnover machine. Those are the quarterbacks that, besides Josh Allen, you can't fix those problems. There's coachable things you can do with Tua to make him see the field better. He's not a natural turnover guy. I think the Dolphins are going to be okay.
I think that you would much rather have a rookie that is not pressing the envelope right now, who's being cautious, who's trying to make the right read, as opposed to the guy who's just freewheeling it into the secondary. Justin Herbert has significantly more weapons than what Tua's been working with, even when the Finns were healthy this year. I'm sorry, Devontae Parker is not Keenan Allen.
No, and Herbert looks like a dork now that he cut his hair, so I don't know why people like him anymore.
Does look like a 15-year-old taking driver's ed. Very unfortunate decision to cut that hair if you're Justin Herbert.
Was that a hazing thing and they just don't want to say it? It had to be, right?
Like, I'm not real sure.
There's no way he was like, you know what's a good idea? Everybody likes me for my hair. Let
me
cut this.
I'm a superstar now, and I live in L.A., so you know what? I'm going to get a sophomore year of high school buzz cut. Nailed it. No, Justin, you're going in reverse, man.
You
That's
had
not the
flow,
the
bro.
Yeah,
it wasn't a smart decision.
Yeah, not a smart decision at all.
Jeanette looks like she wants to puke.
Yeah. Well, it's I've never seen a superstar. Like, Tom Brady went to the league. He was flabby and had a gut and didn't look. And then all of a sudden, 3 years later, he had success and he was a model. He did the proper work to make himself completely marketable.
Who?
That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback.
Tom Brady.
Just
wanted to make sure.
Thank you, Buccaneers fan.
I'm actually having a very cool sports moment. I'm sitting here in my Tampa mm-hmm. shirt, jersey.
Tampa's right.
My Tampa Brady shirt, jersey. And you guys are complaining about Fitzpatrick. And I just had this conversation as a Bucs fan last season. So it's really cool for me to sit here in my Brady jersey as a Buccaneers fan. And you guys are there complaining about what to do with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for every NFL team.
I'm a Jets fan. I go to my Fitzpatrick stories?
Because I'm so frustrated with how there's this infatuation, I think, with local media, whether it's Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post, whether it's Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel, I'll name names, that's fine. Because there's this infatuation with Ryan Fitzpatrick that he's the guy. He's the consummate leader. He's the one that's going to win football games. He was on pace to be a top 10 interception thrower in the NFL this season. Again, like he always is. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Also, I flip sides a lot in this argument, but let's go back to when the Jets played the Bills, week 17, playoffs on the line. Fitzpatrick, I think, threw 3 interceptions in the first half.
Yes. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but it's making me come off as if I don't like the guy. And that's not the case. What that throw he made as he was having his neck ninja broken, like that's the type of thing you see in ninja movies or spy movies where someone comes from behind and just snaps the person's neck. That's what happened to Ryan Fitzpatrick as he was throwing that pass down the left sideline in Vegas on Saturday night. I love that. I respect that. That is one of the greatest modern day moments in Dolphins history. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but because there is this unyielding desire to completely trash Tua at every incompletion or every missed throw. He's 8 games into his rookie year. The only quarterback in this rookie class who is coming off of a devastating injury. Give the guy a break.
The funny thing is, I was complaining 7 weeks ago about how every completed pass Tua threw, Dolphin fans were going crazy. Why don't we find a little happy medium somewhere in there where you're not all in or all out? And the guy, let the guy grow. But, let him be who he is.
And I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing this widespread contrarianism is Dolphins fans, God forbid, they were excited about a franchise quarterback who multiple teams were pining for prior to the injury last year. He was leading the Heisman race. Yes, he was leading Joe Burrow in the Heisman race. He was going to win the Heisman. And then he got hurt and everything changed. Dolphins fans excited, but you've got to crap on him for some reason. Temper their expectations. Stop that. The dude's come in, he's taking care of the football, and his offensive coordinator has not helped him in the slightest in Chan Gailey. And then you've got Justin Herbert, who we constantly want to throw out there as a comparison to, well, this was a mistake from the Dolphins. Should the Dolphins regret not taking Justin Herbert? 1 year sample size. Herbert's not going to the playoffs. Tua likely is, but should the Dolphins regret not taking Justin Herbert? 888-760-3776, 888-760-ESPN. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at ESPN West Palm. I'm at KLV1063. Chris Coquel is at Real Coach K, and Jeanette Javier is Gin and Juice, right?
Jeanette and Juice.
Oh, Jeanette and Juice. Sorry, Jeanette and Juice. Catchy. Thank you. 888-760-3776, 888-760-ESPN. We'll take your calls, but let's get ourselves in to the top five at five, where Jeanette is going to pose our questions for us on this Monday. And Coquel and I will go back and forth and give our takes here. Top five at five here on ESPN 106.3.
This is the top five at five. The five biggest topics in the world of sports and beyond. Now, alongside Brian McLovin-Rowitz, here's Evan Cohen.
All right, Evan is off. Tomorrow, it's myself, Chris Coquel, Jeanette Javier again, 3 to 5:30 here on ESPN 106.3.
And we got a big day tomorrow. We got us 3 to 5:30, then yep. We go into the Canes bowl game, and then into the Heat, joined in progress. So do not leave ESPN 106.3 tomorrow.
And don't forget, by the way, tomorrow it is the Canes and Oklahoma State in the Cheez-It Bowl as well. I know. Cheez-Its are a top tier, I'd say elite snack food.
Top three. Top three.
I have my wife convinced my kids love Cheez-Its. So like when she's around, I'll give them Cheez-Its. They don't really eat them that much.
Why?
I just eat them all. So like they eat them at a normal kid rate. But she thinks like they're devouring. I wait till she goes to bed. I eat them, and then I put the bags and the box at the bottom of the garbage can so she doesn't know it's me.
So are Cheez-Its a guilt-free snack, or is there some guilt with them?
There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt in those Cheez-Its.
I don't care what the flavor is. Like, I'm eating it, whether it's Pepper Jack or whether it's a straight regular cheddar.
I think original Cheez-Its. Like, Cheez-It, just Ken. Original. Cheddar.
He always tries to be something extra.
No. But why are you putting jalapenos and Cheez-Its?
Pepper Jack is good. I feel spicy. But so Cheez-Its.
Maybe have a Pepper Jack
Cheez-Its. Are Cheez-Its in the same family as Goldfish?
No. Goldfish are like.
Supreme. Cheez-Its are more supreme. I prefer Cheez-Its over Goldfish.
So you rank Cheez-Its. Okay. So in the cracker rankings, let's just do this right now. And I'm not talking about like Ken Lavica type of cracker. I'm talking about like actual crackers that you consume. Cheez-Its. Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
Jeanette's going to get in trouble in this conversation. Rank the crackers, Jeanette. No,
rank the crackers. Without context, rank the crackers. Cheez-Its, Ritz, Goldfish. One, ooh. Two, and three. Because Triscuits are a step below. Like, these are the three. We're talking elite level crackers here. So these are the only ones we're talking. I'll go Ritz because you cannot beat the buttery, melt in your mouth allure of the Ritz. And then Cheez-Its, and then Goldfish.
Ritz are last for me. Ritz, if it's dipped with something. If you bring it in a charcuterie board, if you have like some fish dip or something.
Charcuterie board, there's meat and things involved.
And
I know that you haven't quite gotten to that level of society yet, Coquel.
It's a fancy lunchbox. So that's when the Ritz crackers comes in. Yeah. So I would go Cheez-Its, Goldfish, Ritz.
Okay, because Ritz crackers are more versatile, though, too. You can put things on them, like you were saying, a charcuterie board, or you could possibly dip them if need be. Cheez-Its don't lend to that, nor do Goldfish.
I'm ranking it based on, like, how much I eat in one sitting. Like, I can do a box of Cheez-Its one sitting, not an issue. Goldfish, I can go halfway. Ritz, I'm like, three. It's cool, I'm bored.
Goldfish, I think, are trash. You know what I mean? They're good if you need them. There's no other snacks around. They're kind of empty, kind of like they're empty inside, so they don't fill the soul the way the other two do.
Cheez-Its. What the hell are you talking about?
We're talking about...
Goldfish are empty. Have you ever looked inside of a goldfish? They act like there's this little circle of cheese inside. No, it's all air, Ken. I've bitten into it.
I do feel bad with the smiley ones that you then consume.
But yeah. I also just want... I'm fat. My wife wants me to diet, so I need things I can get away with. The Ritz cracker, crumbs fall all over me. They get on the couch. She sees it in the morning. I'm caught. Cheez-Its, eat the whole box, garbage.
Oh,
put
man.
It underneath, put my hand deep in the bag, scrub up the hands after... Boom.
Poor Coquel. His wife's trying to get him to lose weight. He is on the Triscuit train.
I respect the hustle.
To Triscuitville. Yeah, poor guy.
I respect it.
Poor guy. All right, let's rank your crackers. The crackers that you eat. 888-760-3776. 888-760-ESPN. I'm going Ritz, my number one. Jeanette and Coquel are going Cheez-Its. They're at number one cracker. But go ahead and give us your cracker rankings. 888-760-3776. While Jeanette gets us to number five.
Tom Brady and the Bucs have clinched the playoffs. Does this impact Brady or Belichick's legacy more?
I think that this probably will go down as a fail for Bill Belichick. I think that anything that Brady does is a direct reflection of Bill Belichick. Whether it's fair or not, Bill Belichick is the one who ultimately wanted to part ways with Tom Brady for several years, not the other way around. They finally decided, hey, it's best for us to separate. And you go to the Bucs, there was a lot of talent there already. It was a matter of Bruce Arians, who is as hard-headed as humanly possible, to finally convince himself that maybe Tom Brady knows what sort of offense is best for him to try and run, and they've been on a better run as of late. But Bill Belichick, missing the playoffs the year that Tom Brady goes to a talented Tampa Bay squad and brings them to the playoffs, is more of a testament and more of a hit to the legacy of Bill Belichick.
Eat it, Belichick.
Yeah.
Eat every single
bit of it. It's easy to go to
that place. Eat it. Eat it with your smug attitude and your stupid not answers and your, oh, dude, Cincinnati. Oh, you're so cool. I hate Belichick and his little kids with their mullets that he's now bringing along. Total nepotism. Probably aren't even good coaches. His dad doing all the work. The whole family can eat it. They can join Matt Patricia and all go somewhere.
And all go somewhere. All right, Bucks fan, have your say.
I don't want Arians to be a coach on that team anymore.
You would have been.
The Bucks fan has given her opinion.
In my dream world, Belichick would be the next Bucks coach. In a dream world.
Yeah, I don't think Robert Kraft and Belichick are separating anytime soon.
No, no. It's a weird novella that they have between the three of them going on. It's a weird relationship. I'm happy to have Tom Brady no matter what he's had.
They're always going to be linked together, clearly. Tom Brady clearly ended up with the better roster coming off of the separation from Bill Belichick.
And that's one of the things I was always confused about Arians. It's like, you brought Brady because Brady felt confident in the offense that was already given to him. Why are you trying to run the show?
Right. They have overcome that, it appears. The Bucs are going to the playoffs, first time since 2007. But here is why this reflects more poorly on Bill Belichick. There has been this reputation that Bill Belichick has had, and I think he's perpetuated, and I think national media has certainly pushed it, but Bill Belichick, evil genius, the mastermind. He can take anybody and piece them into the plan, and the Patriots are going to succeed because he just knows more than anybody else. And Bill Belichick, with all of the tricks he's pulled in managing the clock and whether it is committing penalties in order to continue to wind clock down, which Mike Vrabel ended up getting him on in the playoffs last year, out Belichicking Belichick, but all these little competitive advantages that lent to the greatness, the allure, the legend, the myth of Bill Belichick. And now that Tom Brady's gone and they're not going to the playoffs and the Patriots struggled super hard this year, all of a sudden, that reputation has exploded. And that's why it's more of a hit on the legacy of Bill Belichick.
He needs to bounce back next year or it's going to look really bad.
Yeah, there's going to start being questions.
This year is excusable. It's 2020 COVID year. No matter how you want to look at it, there's always going to be that mulligan. I think I'm shocked coaches are even getting fired in a year like this because there is that mulligan, especially like college coaches. Mm-hmm. I know we're talking about the pros right now. But it is that mulligan of a year. But Belichick really, really needs to have a bounce back year.
Yeah, but when Cam Newton came to the team, I thought, I was like, oh, if there's one guy who can look at Cam and make something of him, it would be Belichick.
I did too.
There is obviously nothing.
Well, it's become clear that, and Cam Newton can say all he wants that he still has football left in him, but he doesn't have that much football left in him. The injuries, getting banged around constantly in Carolina, those took its toll. He is not the same guy, not the same quarterback. And I hate to see it because I thought Cam would be good with the Patriots. I am a Cam Newton fan. I appreciate him, but that clearly has not worked. And I would be very surprised if Cam Newton was in a Patriots uniform next year.
At what point does Kraft feel like there's too many hands on things and have to release Belichick?
But are there too many hands on things? Because Bill Belichick is... I mean, Bill Belichick's been running that show forever.
I just wanted to say Kraft hands and release all in one sentence. That's all. That's all I wanted. There's no point to it. Go to the next question.
Oh, man.
Who will end up being the least terrible team in the
I'm just mad I didn't catch that. I'm just mad I didn't catch that.
We're mature people, Kay.
I've been trying to formulate that joke for the last 10 minutes. I still didn't deliver it great, but I'm glad I got it out there.
I'm glad you've been focused on the task at hand. Jeanette, number four.
Who will end up being the least terrible team in the NFC East and make the playoffs?
Well, this division is... They are not fun to watch in any way, shape, or form. And I was really, really surprised that NBC flexed to the Eagles and Washington football team next week. And now, in light of what's taken place with Dwayne Haskins being released today, I mean, there's a lot of drama. That's a great storyline. But the Eagles are done. They've been eliminated. They're basically playing spoiler. And on the final Sunday Night Football broadcast of the year, we're going to go back to that god-awful division to see who can crawl its way into the playoffs and then be sacrificed in the wild card round in the NFC. I think the Cowboys are done as well. They need a lot of help. I suppose Washington, because they have the clearest path, I suppose Washington is the worst team to get out of the NFC East and make the playoffs.
Let me massage this question for you. But all right, the reason why they had to do it this game is because it's going to be the only game that no matter what happens, there's a division on the line.
Yeah.
So they had to flex because the Cowboys and the Giants will play each other. I'd be more interested to see a camera on whatever team wins that game watching this game than actually watching the game itself.
An NFC East division championship doesn't mean a damn thing this year. It doesn't.
It means you get into the playoffs.
Right, but can you imagine next year there's going to be a banner hung in one of three NFC East stadiums, and it is going to be celebrating six wins on a season?
It won't say that on there, though. It'll just say NFC East champions.
It's such a pointless honor to bestow upon any team in that division this year. I am more interested in the bottom of the AFC. Yeah. And the jockeying for position that's going to happen there as opposed to who ends up winning the putrid NFC East. Because you have teams with 10 wins that are – several teams with 10 wins that are hanging on for dear life to make the playoffs in the AFC. That is good drama.
Who do you got? You have the Ravens, right?
Ravens, Dolphins.
Lamar Jackson, the Dolphins.
The Colts. The Browns.
But the Browns winning 10 games and might not make the playoffs.
I know.
So awesome.
After so long, they've got, the second longest playoff drought in NFL, current drought in the NFL right now, and they get 10 wins now. The odds are against them after that loss yesterday to make the playoffs.
As a Jets fan, there's nothing better than seeing Browns fans struggle because they're probably the one group of fans where I can still feel like I should.
And
I
probably shouldn't. You're not inferior to?
I feel like at least they're on the same page as me. So for them not to make the playoffs. But I've been, you know how I've been with Lamar Jackson. I've been ride or die with the guy since he's been in high school. I watched almost every Louisville game. I basically pay for the NFL ticket every year to watch Ravens games and watch him play. I'm just glad they're most likely, unless they have a falling out and drop a game they should win against the Bengals, they're going to make the playoffs. Because that rough stretch in the middle of the year, there was COVID and so many other things going on. And you know, like Tua gets the hate, if Lamar didn't make the playoffs, people would have dumped on him. Or if he doesn't make the playoffs, people would have been irrationally dumping on Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of dumping on Lamar Jackson after they lost in the playoffs a year ago, after they went down to Tennessee.
Now he'll get a wild card game. It's like a lesser opponent, at least. He doesn't have to jump right to the
division. Get that playoff win. That's optimistic of you.
That's it, man.
Ken LaVica, Chris Kokal, Ken and Kokal here until 6. Commercial free. Jeanette Javier hanging out with us as well. Let's get to number 3 in the top 5.
The Washington football team have cut ties with quarterback Dwayne Haskins. Will we see the former first round pick in the NFL next year?
Yes. For sure. Will be on a roster. He will be picked up in the offseason. There's going to be a lot more that comes out about Dwayne Haskins, his relationship with Ron Rivera, about that locker room in the coming days. It is clear there was a disconnect. It was clear that Ron Rivera was concerned about maturity issues with Dwayne Haskins. I was really surprised that Dwayne Haskins goes from starting yesterday in a game where the Washington football team could have clinched a playoff spot to suddenly not on the team any longer. It was a terrible look last week, Dwayne Haskins with the strippers, violating the COVID-19 protocols. But I was more bothered today by the reaction of people like Stephen A. Smith, who are just piling on Dwayne Haskins. The dude's 23 years old, and I know he's an adult, okay? But he's a 23-year-old kid who was drafted into an awful situation with a miserable culture there with that organization, where investigations have brought up evidence of womanizing with the owner and the former head coach who drafted Dwayne Haskins, involving cheerleaders and women around the organization. Not to mention the Washington radio broadcaster, same thing, denigrating females and conveniently resigning his post before the start of the season. All of this saga with ownership and blackmailing, Daniel Snyder saying minority ownership is trying to tarnish him so that he sells the team or loses the franchise. I mean, it just goes on and on and on with that team under that ownership. And then Dwayne Haskins gets drafted, gets thrown in because Jay Gruden's desperate last year, clearly wasn't ready to play quarterback. And again, a toxic culture. He was never going to succeed. There was never going to be any ability for Dwayne Haskins to overcome all of that and succeed, especially if he still had growing up to do. And there are the people that want to pile on him again, like Stephen A. Smith today, all over Twitter. And it rubs me the wrong way. I don't like that, because especially because of the reasons that I just mentioned, he deserves a second chance. He's not done in the NFL, but we like to celebrate young athletes failing because it's easy for us to jump onto social media and start stomping on them. And I hate that.
If you follow Dwayne Haskins' career in Ohio State, it's weird because all the opposite things were said about
him.
Yeah,
that's what's really bizarre. That's why this is so unexpected.
He was thought of as a mature leader, as someone who was responsible, who cared team first. He had basically everything you're saying about him, you thought the opposite. He gets to the Redskins, the disaster of Jay Gruden's last year where everyone knew he was fired, all the quarterback issues they had way before Haskins got there of rotating quarterbacks through and trying to figure out who the starter is, back to RG3. You know what I mean? There's been those issues there for a long time. Then COVID hits. Don't forget, he had that weird, terrible rookie year with that. COVID hits. He's left to his own devices for a long time. There was no OTAs, Ken. There was none of that offseason stuff. So he was on his own there. Then he gets thrown back into a weird NFL season. Who knows what kind of mentoring he got, even about how to handle COVID. Am I excusing his behavior? No. With his coach having cancer and getting chemo at halftime at times,
yeah,
you know, you have to kind of look out for
really stupid judgment.
The people around him. But again, he is 23. He is all of a sudden in this pile of money. He may not think that it's so bad what he's doing. He may not have realized that pictures were taken. Other guys might be doing the same thing, but are smarter about taking phones and who they associate themselves with because they've been around longer.
Ultimately, when you're an NFL quarterback, you can't make the stupid decisions that Dwayne Haskins did. I mean, listen, we had a situation in Cleveland during the baseball season where on the same pitching staff, guys are going out violating COVID-19 protocols with a guy on the staff who was recovering from cancer.
Yep.
I mean, and that ended up leading to a trade. because they could no longer coexist in the same locker room. And so I don't know if this is the exact same situation, but I get it. I get it. But to just bury Dwayne Haskins or revel in the glory of him being released today, that's gross. That's really gross.
Someone will pick him up. He'll clear waivers. They'll get him on the cheap. You're not going to let a talent like a first-round draft pick, what, last year?
No.
Last year, a top 10 pick. Last year, a guy we – was he top 10? He might not have. We mocked the Giants for taking –
I think he was 12. I think Haskins was 12.
I expected him to go 6 to the Giants. We mocked the Giants for taking Daniel Jones over him, who I still don't even know if he's better than Haskins anyway.
Yeah.
But someone – he's going to land somewhere. If I'm the Jets and I'm keeping Sam Darnold, not that you want to bring him into that circus, but hopefully you get a new coach, why not take a flyer? Or if you're like the Chiefs with a Patrick Mahomes, let him sit behind your guy for a while and learn.
Would it be crazy to think that Belichick would pick him up?
I'm over the Belichick reclamation project.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. It's not crazy at all. It's where a lot of people go. But I'm so over people saying that Belichick can fix everybody.
Yeah. Because he clearly can't.
No.
He showed it this year.
Belichick showed me he has nothing when I saw Braxton Berrios scoring a touchdown for the Jets. Because if Belichick was still in his game, Berrios would be a Patriot.
Here is the tweet that Stephen A. Smith sent out that really rubbed me the wrong way today with Dwayne Haskins. Even on vacation, I need to step out and say this. I was totally wrong about Dwayne Haskins, thinking the Giants were foolish to pass up on him in favor of Daniel Jones. I look like a damn fool. You know how bad you have to be as a player and a person to be a first-round pick and still get released inside of 2 years? That is wildly unfair.
And
to
why?
Make a judgment about what type of person he is, yes, he made a stupid mistake. Dwayne Haskins has not conducted himself well at times, but to say he's a bad person, that's out of line.
And to go out of your way. Dude was on vacation.
Right, right.
He's on vacation. He went out of his way to attack the character.
You make a lot of money, and you make a lot of money to have takes like that, but as a human, I hated that. I did not like that at all. Number two in the top five, Jeanette.
Who was the biggest winner of the NFL week?
It's hard to not say the Dolphins. The Dolphins have the miracle win in Vegas. Had no business winning that game. Ryan Fitzpatrick had no business completing a pass where his second and third vertebrae were stretched north and south. And then the inexplicable completion into the penalty, the Jason Sanders field goal. Dolphins win. They are now, as we sit here, 5:46 Eastern time on Monday, the 5 seed in the AFC. And the Houston Texans, who cannot win at all, have plummeted their way to the number 3 pick, if the draft were today, that the Dolphins own. So the Dolphins not only moved up in the AFC playoff picture, control their own path, because I refuse to say anymore control your own destiny, hate that phrase, control their own path in week 17 at Buffalo, but they also are entrenched into a top 5 pick at this moment in the draft. That is a great weekend. They're the big winner.
Jaguars? Jaguars have locked in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. They now have the quarterback that not only is their future quarterback, that lands them their future coach. That job just got a lot better, because if they don't get Trevor Lawrence, no one who wants to go to Jacksonville? I've been there. It's a terrible place. It smells.
It is so unbecoming to see the Jaguars team Twitter account openly celebrating an ugly 41-17 loss to the Bears yesterday by tweeting photos of Trevor Lawrence and mock Trevor Lawrence Jaguars jerseys to fans. When I saw that, that is absolutely the best case that I can find to introduce relegation into American sports. I am so tired of teams getting rewarded for losing on purpose. And it's how much of a percentage of the Jaguars fan base do you think rails on participation trophies all the time?
All of them. I lived in Jacksonville for a year. I couldn't get the phrase Duval.
You gotta
out of
earn
my nightmares.
In this America, you gotta earn what you get.
All of them.
You gotta earn it. You gotta earn it. This is America. Go get it.
And then you openly are tanking and losing on purpose to get a quarterback, and then you're celebrating with your American flag in the back of your pickup truck. I mean, the absolute apex of hypocrisy lives in Jacksonville.
And it's a raggedy American flag, too. Like, that's the thing. I know you're so proud to be American, but you obviously have needed a new flag for the past 5 seasons.
Tell you what, Duval is full of hypocrisy. full of hypocrisy after what we saw yesterday with the open celebration getting Trevor Lawrence.
I can be petty on them fans
keep
all
going,
day.
Keep going. I spent one night in Jacksonville and it was in a jail, so keep going.
Not shocking. That's exactly Jacksonville.
I hate that city. So you guys just rail away. Tell me more.
But seriously, and I'm picking on Jacksonville, but there are all NFL fan bases has a significant percentage of said fan base that hate participation trophies. But getting the number one pick in the NFL draft is the ultimate participation trophy. The ultimate participation trophy.
America.
Man. We still have one more, right?
Yeah.
Number one, top five.
Did the Miami Dolphins head football coach Brian Flores make the right move by benching quarterback Tua Tagovailoa for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes, Ken. I'm not going to let you go. Okay. Yes. I don't care how you say it. You should say starter Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's the right move if you want to make the playoffs. Playoffs are on the line. Tua wasn't winning that game. You have to pull the kid there. And again, if he's too fragile to handle it, he's not your guy. He'll be fine coming back next year. He won't be looking over his shoulder. He'll have a whole year of looking back and growth and watching film and maybe even watching Ryan Fitzpatrick. Maybe they go with Fitzpatrick. Well, they're going with Tua. What they should do, go with Fitzpatrick. And if he's not playing well, then you bring Tua off the bench after he's seen it a little bit with someone else in there.
I am personally someone who is looking big picture with the Dolphins over immediacy of making the playoffs.
That
this
is
year,
big picture, though.
It's not, though. It's not, because development of your quarterback is big picture, and being able to round out your roster with weapons to help said quarterback is of utmost importance. But what I'll say is it has become increasingly clear that Brian Flores really values making the postseason to the point where he has grown stones unlike anything we have seen on an NFL head coach in an awful long time, where he is openly discussing the fact and openly self-aware about what happens when he puts in his backup quarterback late in games.
Boulders.
Knows that he's going to get blowback. Knows that he's going to get criticism. He's going to get nothing but questions about it, but does it anyways. And it nearly worked the first time. If it wasn't for Justin Simmons, Martin County alum there in Denver. Pro Bowler, by the way.
Possible Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Give that man a long-term deal. Okay.
Or don't.
Or don't go to, don't, go to the Jets.
Because I know where it's Justin, don't go to the Jets. I know where someone wants him to sign.
What? Oh, the Jets?
No.
Oh.
You want a leader on the other side of the ball that's like Tua? The Broncos don't sign him. Expect him to be kicked. There's going to be knocks on doors to see if there's something down here in Miami. I'll just put it that way.
That would be awesome. But I also, and then it obviously worked for you in Vegas, but Brian Flores has made it clear that making the playoffs is the priority, and it is clear enough that he has a relationship with Tua where he knows that Tua is not going to shatter into a million pieces. Brian Flores is going off of field. He's very much like a baseball manager. Brian Flores is like an old-school baseball manager where he's going by feel. He's not necessarily going by the numbers. He's not going by what the metrics tell him. He's going by feel, and he thinks that Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to come in and something's going to change. And I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick tangibly did anything in those final two possessions, except some luck went the Dolphins' way. And fine, the Dolphins as an organization deserve that luck. But Brian Flores, to me, then, if he's going to go by feel, it's consistent with how he's handled the quarterback situation since Tua was named the starter once he left that Jets game and the Dolphins won that Jets game all the way back in week 7 of this NFL season. Week 6, week 7 of this NFL season. So yeah, based on track record, Brian Flores made the right decision, and Brian Flores is making the right decision putting Tua back in as the starter against Buffalo.
He owes it to the other 52, though. What about the rest of the guys on the roster? That's why the playoffs matter. But that's why he's won this locker room over, because he's not putting star quarterback over team.
But don't you think the rest of the locker room has respect for Tua as well? Well, what makes you think that they feel jilted if Tua is the starter over Ryan Fitzpatrick?
If they feel Fitzpatrick's the best opportunity to win, then they're going to be jilted. That's all they care about, because guys might not be there next year.
But they might not, though. I mean, and again, it's not like Tua was completely stagnant in a faceplant against the Raiders on Saturday night.
Mm.
He wasn't.
There was a stretch there where
Chan Gailey actually decided to play to Tua's strengths, The Dolphins move the ball.
I don't know why they don't go tempo with them all the time.
That's
I'm saying. I mean, I'm the worst high school football coach in South Florida history, and I would go tempo to him. Like, you have to. You have to go tempo with him. That's how he operates.
And I don't get why. They've only succeeded. They're actually, if you look at the advanced metrics, the NFL Next Gen stats, they have the most prolific tempo offense in the league when Tua is at quarterback this year. But they go to it so few and far between that it's easy to say, Tua is struggling, because they're not putting him in the position to succeed.
No,
that's fine. Go ahead.
How many times a game do you forget that Tua is a lefty? That's what I have to know, because that stood out to me at least four times of every game where I'm like, he makes a throw where he has to turn his body the other way. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You're a lefty. Like, it just looks so weird to me still. I haven't adjusted my eyes.
It's so bizarre, this hang-up that people have with left-handed quarterbacks.
Are you a lefty? I feel like you should be a lefty.
No, I'm not
a
lefty.
You should be a lefty.
Not a lefty.
What does that mean?
Well, yeah, what does that mean?
Just, he always goes the opposite way of everything. He's got to
being a contrarian and being a lefty are two entirely different things.
He just tries to look at the world differently.
I can see the rationale.
But I just forget all. I just forget. I don't even know the rationale. But I'm glad Jeanette has my back. That's my 5-6 partner come January 4th. Don't forget. So she's gonna take my back every time.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we'll have 2.5 hours of 2 versus 1 tomorrow. That'll be great. That is your top five here on ESPN 106.3. If you want to catch anything, make sure to go to SoundCloud.com/ESPN West Palm and make sure you relive all of the moments from Josh Cohen and the home team, Evan Cohen commercial free, and we'll also have some new audio options for you as we hit the new year, 2021. He's Chris Coquel. I'm Ken LaVica here with Jeanette Javier as well. Another couple of minutes here on ESPN 106.3. The Cheez-It Bowl tomorrow, we were talking about it earlier, Miami and Oklahoma State. It does remind me, and I don't know, Coquel, if you've ever covered a bowl game before, but it is, from a media standpoint, it's a thrill if it's the right title sponsor. And let me give you an example of that. Before I came down to West Palm in 2007, I was in Madison at our Good Karma Brand station up there. And I covered Wisconsin football and basketball. So I came from Madison in early December of 2007 and started working here at what was then ESPN 760. Wisconsin ended up playing Tennessee in the Outback Bowl. So I drove across the strait on New Year's Day. I rolled into Raymond James Stadium, and at every single seat for every media member was their own Bloomin' Onion.
Oh my God.
And I bleep you not, there was.
And people, let me just, media members make me, who's a not so skinny man, look skinny. Like when I covered games,
agreed.
I was like, like I'm a big fatso, and I was like, man, I'm in shape just by walking into the media room.
We'll put it this way. Media members are not generally known as the most, fit, healthy people. They are known for loving free meals and free food and doing anything they can to take advantage of that perk. And so at the Outback Bowl, every media member to their seat was delivered their own Bloomin' Onion.
Was it the original size, though, or were they scaled down?
No, these were gigantic, like you would get in the restaurant, appetizer Bloomin' Onions, which are some of the most unhealthy appetizers
you'll ever find at any restaurant. Free Bloomin' Onion, why would that even cross
and
your mind?
And you get that like pink sauce with it. It's good. It's delicious. But there was a writer from an in-state newspaper, not down here in South Florida, but elsewhere, who I saw, and again, I'm not joking. I swear to God on this. I would put my hand on a Bible and swear to it. He wiped a tear from the corner of his eye as he sat and stared at the Bloomin' Onion.
But maybe that was like his last.
It was the single
greatest game coverage experience of my life because he was the right title sponsor. So
maybe that was his last moment meal with like his grandma or something.
All I'm saying is that you can make fun of the Cheez-It Bowl all you
Are
want.
Are they giving out Cheez-Its? Because I'm not going
to
be on the show.
They
I'm
have to. Like they have to. I mean, it would be pointless if they didn't. So I assure you that every media member is getting loads of Cheez-Its tomorrow, in individual packs, of course, because it's a pandemic. And that is going to end up being a superb game coverage experience for the media covering the game because it's going to be 3.5 hours of Cheez-Its.
Can we go back to the Outback one, though? Yeah. I have a couple questions. Did you get your own bread?
Yes.
The brown. You got your own?
No, no, no. You didn't get your own bread, but they had plenty of it at the media. There was also a buffet table that they had set up.
Did you get
so
the
steak?
The honey butter?
Yes, there was honey butter there.
Okay, good. Yeah. I love it. And did you, so they had the steak. Did they have the chicken?
Yeah.
The sun-dried tomatoes on top?
And chicken.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I don't remember the sun-dried.
I would have been
what
that guy.
What did you drink that
I didn't
night,
understand.
What did you have to drink?
Outback is like a staple, great place to go.
Apparently, Jeanette is the wise sage of the Outback menu. I didn't know she was the oracle of Outback.
Anyone
I
who's
no
sliding
idea.
In those at Jeanette and Juice DMs offer
right
Outback.
In the world.
Give me that blooming onion and the bread sold.
But that's, for years, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Meh.
Media loved covering that.
Cheez-Its,
chips.
Oh, man.
Cheez-Its legit.
You're just going to get chips? That's it?
Yes, of course.
That's it?
No, but you have various salsas, various queso dips.
I'll pass.
All of that. But this year, the Fiesta Bowl, Sony is the title sponsor of the Fiesta Bowl. Ooh. Every single player is getting a PS5.
That's awesome. See, that's what
Oregon and who are they playing in the... Iowa State. They're all getting PS5s.
So does it come with games on it?
I don't know.
Datron Speedy Young. Atlantic gonna get a PS5. Gonna have to hit him up and be like, "Hey, buddy.
Hey, remember me? No,
okay, I'll get a little bit of recruiting, maybe.
Do we have a Duffy's Daily Headlines tonight?
Nope.
Okay, good, perfect. All right,
I'm glad we don't. Since we just talked about Outback for the last 10 minutes.
So yeah,
maybe throwing Duffy's into the conversation isn't the time.
I remember because when I traveled with the FAU football team when in college, one of my favorite things was getting the free food because I was a broke college student. It was exciting because I ate very well.
My overall point is don't knock the Cheez-It Bowl until you try it, especially if you're a media member, because that's going to be a great 3.5 hours if it's what I believe it's going to be from a snack standpoint.
You're
going to
get your own box of Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the game tomorrow? 3 to 5:30?
3 to 5:30.
Can we talk about the Canes game, not the Cheez-Its?
Yeah, we'll talk about the game.
All right,
but I also want to talk about the Cheez-Its.
The King is returning.
Food over.
The King is returning, yes. The Eric King is returning. For Chris Coquel, I'm Ken LaVica. Thanks to Janetta Javier. We'll do this again 3 to 5:30 tomorrow. Chiney and Golic up next on ESPN 106.3.